The test is in four parts, part 1, part 2, part 3, and part 4. Now look at part 1.
Part 1.
I'm thinking of taking a year off university next year, and I'd like to travel around Europe.
First, you have some time to look at questions 1 to 7. Listen carefully to the first part of the conversation and answer questions 1 to 7.
Good morning. How can I help you? I'm thinking of taking a year off university next year and I'd like to travel around Europe.
Okay then. Do you have any idea where you'd like to go?
Well, I was thinking of starting in France and then working my way up to Eastern Europe, possibly going as far as Slovakia.
Well, there are a number of ways you can do this, and we have various options available. It really depends on your budget and how you'd like to travel.
That's just the thing, really. I mean, I've just finished my second year at university, so obviously I'd like to do it in as cheap a way as possible.
That's fine. Could you give me a rough idea of the price range you're looking at?
Realistically speaking, I'm hoping to pay between about £700 and £900. I could stretch to £1,100, but that's really my limit.
How long are you thinking of going for?
About 10 months.
To be honest, you'd be better off travelling for about 7 months, if that's your budget.
Okay, that's not too bad. So, how would you suggest I travel?
Well, because of the time limit, I don't think walking is a viable option. Of course, in this day and age, the most convenient way to get around is by flying, particularly if you've got quite a bit you want to see in a short space of time. Saying that, I still think the best way to get around Europe is by train. As a student, you can also get a student rail card, which means cheaper fares.
That sounds brilliant. How do I go about getting a rail card?
Well, if you decide that's what you want to do, then we can organise that all for you. You'll need to fill in a form and provide us with 2 passport photos, and we'll do the rest. It costs about £36 plus about £10 administration costs.
Great. That's really not expensive at all. And what about buses? I was just thinking if I decide to go to places which are a bit more remote.
There are always local buses, but these are not always a good idea. They can be quite unreliable and in some areas quite dangerous because the buses tend to be overcrowded and some of the drivers drive way too fast. So I would suggest you don't do this.
That sounds quite frightening. So what are my options then?
You could hire a car, but it can be expensive. Still, I do think if you're thinking about going to smaller towns and places which are off the beaten track, then hiring a car is by far the better way to do it. You can also look at sharing the costs by hiring a car with someone else.
That's a good idea. I guess I could put a message on the internet.
You could do that. But don't forget that you meet people when you're travelling, and you'll probably find someone who's going to the same place as you are.
That's true. I want to stay in youth hostels, so I'm sure I'll find people who are interested in going to the same places. Oh, one last thing. What about taxis? I was thinking about if I go out at night. I use taxis all the time here.
Oh, but taxis abroad are a different story. In certain countries, they're no problem, but by and large, taxi fares are high.
Oh.
If you do go out at night, try walking home, but make sure you don't do this alone. Try and find people to go out with at night or come home at a reasonable time. But if you're staying in youth hostels, you should find plenty of young people to go out with at night.
I'm sure I will.
Now you have some time to look at questions 8 to 10. Now listen to the next part of the conversation and answer questions 8 to 10.
Now, have you thought about how you'd like to travel to France?
Not really, no.
There are basically three ways. You can go by ferry, which leaves every day and night, or there's the hovercraft, which is more pricey, but will get you there quicker, and, of course, you could fly.
Well, I don't think flying is an option for me, as it'll be too expensive. So I suppose I'll choose one of the other two. It's a pity, really, as I don't fancy the idea of travelling by sea. Last time I did that, I got terribly seasick.
Well, you're in luck then, as at the moment there's a special deal on flights to France.
Ah.
In fact, a plane ticket is now half the price of a ferry ticket, which is usually the cheapest option.
That's great. I'll do that then. I much prefer flying anyway.
I'll need to get some details off you then. Firstly, how will you be paying? Cash, cheque or credit card? If you pay by cheque, you'll need a cheque guarantee card.
I don't have my chequebook with me, so it'll have to be by credit card.
Fine, that's no problem. If you could just sign over here, and then we'll have a look at flight times, and I can sort out a youth travel card for you.
Fine. Oh, can I use your pen, please?
No problem. Now, let's look at times. There is a flight leaving at 9 a.m. and one that leaves half an hour later. Or you can choose a later flight at 11:30.
No, I think 11:30 is too late, so I think I'd prefer the flight that leaves after 9. I'm not very good at getting up in the morning.
No problem. Just give me a moment. Right, that's booked for you. Please remember that if you want to change this, you must give 24 hours notice or you will lose your place.
That is the end of part one.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.
Now turns to part two.
Part two.
First, you have some time to look at questions 11 to 17. Now, listen carefully and answer questions 11 to 17.
Hello, and thanks everyone for coming here today. I know it's always a bit stressful going for a job interview, but it's best to be prepared. For any of you who may not know me, my name is Fiona Ogilvy, and my job is to offer guidance and support for students with special needs. Now, you wouldn't be here today if you weren't interested in finding a job in the holidays. So let's get down to it and see what things you need to be looking out for. Most of you, I hope, will be applying for jobs with the companies that have been recommended by the university. The reason for this is that we here at the university already know these companies and have established good working relationships with them. I've also been to visit all of them and checked out the facilities they have to offer. You really need to make informed choices when you're looking for a job and make sure you know before you even get to the interview stage that your needs will be met. But I know that some of you are applying for jobs independently and have looked at companies outside the university recommended list. So for you, it's best to plan ahead and be aware of what it is you may need while you're working. Things that you need to check when you go for an interview are there enough toilet facilities and are these easily accessible? Also, you want to check that all the public areas inside the building are barrier-free, so you can get direct access to these public spaces whenever you need to. And ask about ramps into the building, so you know how many there are and where they are located. These kinds of things are so much more difficult to sort out when you've started work, as they take time. But ramps are an absolute must, so please make sure you know where they are. Another thing you must make sure of is that the lifts have the correct lowered control panels. Ask if all the lifts have this facility, or if it's only certain ones. Now, something I think that is often overlooked is working hours. What you want to make sure of is that you get flexi time. This basically means that your working hours are flexible, and you can clock on and clock off in times that suit you. Within reason, of course. Most companies do recognise that it takes much longer for someone in a wheelchair to get on and off buses and trains. Public transport can take that much longer, so you need to be organised and prepared. And for those of you lucky enough to own a car, check how many disability parking spaces are available. Remember that it's your right to have a disabled parking space. These also need to be near enough to a wheelchair accessible entrance or ramp. Okay, are there any questions before we move on?
Before you hear the rest of the talk, you have some time to look at questions 18 to 20. Now listen and answer questions 18 to 20.
Right, let's move on then. Now I want to talk you through the series of visits to companies which we've got planned for next week. On Monday morning, we will be visiting the Lowland Hotel. They have various summer jobs available, working as a receptionist or conference organiser in their busy conference centre, organising and setting up conferences. You need to be prepared for working in an office environment and spending quite a bit of time talking on the telephone. The bus leaves for the hotel at 9 a.m, so make sure you leave yourself plenty of time to get there. When you arrive at the hotel, please gather in the reception area and wait for someone to take you to your first session, which will be a talk. The talk at the hotel will begin at 10 a.m. and then there will be a short tour of the hotel. There will be a light lunch provided, which is usually salads and sandwiches. The next place we'll be visiting will be on Tuesday afternoon. We'll be going to visit a little local company that makes handmade paper and cards. For those of you studying art, this may be just what you're looking for. We'll be taken on a tour of the company, which lasts 3 hours. The tour will start at 3:30 p.m. and after that you'll have a chance to meet some of the staff. Tea and coffee will also be provided. We have no trips planned for Wednesday, but on Thursday morning we'll be going to Tobago Travel Agency. This is a very popular choice amongst our students because you can get student discounts on holidays. We've booked a coach for this and it'll leave from outside the refectory at 8 a.m. You'll need to bring a packed lunch for this, so please don't forget. There is a little canteen where you can buy hot and cold food, but this is closed on Thursdays. Friday, we'll be having representatives from all the companies visiting us, so you will have a chance to ask any questions, and of course, put your name down on the list if you're interested in working for them over the summer. This event will take place in the main hall next to the library, and it'll run from 10:30 until 4. I really hope you make the most of this excellent opportunity to not only earn yourself some extra money, but also to gain experience of what it's like to work. And if you'd like to find out more, then please ask some of the students who worked last year. They're all wearing green badges and will be happy to speak to you afterwards.
That is the end of part 2.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.
Now it turns to part three.
Part three.
First, you have some time to look at questions 21 to 25. Now, listen carefully and answer questions 21 to 25.
Good morning, Mr. Thompson. Can I speak to you for a moment?
Of course, Jamie. Come in. Have a seat. I've just finished looking through the reports for this term. It looks like the pupils are doing very well.
Yes, I think they are. It's all going fine.
So, Jamie, what's on your mind?
Well, I've been thinking about next month's camping trip. The one for Year 10?
Yes, we've got it scheduled for the 23rd to the 26th, if I'm not mistaken.
Actually, I think it's the 24th to the 27th.
Let's just check. Oh, right. Yes, you're right. So...
Well, I've been thinking about how we might possibly make this year's event even better than last year's. Not that last year's wasn't great, but...
Suggestions for improvement are always welcome, Jamie. So, what have you been thinking about?
Well, to tell the truth, I wasn't completely happy with the camp we used last year. It was rather small, and I didn't feel that the grounds were particularly well kept.
Go on.
I did some searching, and I think I found the perfect spot. It's called Shepton Meadows, and...
Is that the campsite in the Lake District?
No. Actually, it's just outside Carlisle. It's a huge site, and it's on a lovely lake, Lake Brant, I believe it's called. Half the site is forested, and the rest, the actual camping area, is grassy. For kids that rarely get to see anything more than concrete, it's ideal. And the facilities are amazing. There's a basketball court, a large pool, and a football pitch. There are well-marked trails through the forest for hiking, and the lake is there for swimming and other water sports. I believe there's even a lifeguard service.
That sounds like it might suit our purposes perfectly. Did you happen to find out about availability and cost?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I did. I called them yesterday evening, and there are plenty of spots available. And because we're a non-profit organisation, they said they would give me a reduction in the price.
If I remember correctly, we paid £5 a head last year.
Yes, per night, right?
Yes, each child paid £10 for the two nights.
Well, at this campsite, it's only £4 per night. And they told me that if we had over 50 children, which we do, they could give us a further 10% off.
That's very reasonable, isn't it? Well, from what you've told me, I think we should probably go ahead and book.
Excellent. I'm sure the children will love it.
I'm sure they will.
Before you hear the rest of the talk, you have some time to look at questions 26 to 30. Now listen and answer questions 26 to 30.
Now, Jamie, have you given any thought to an itinerary by any chance?
As a matter of fact, I have. Wait one second. Yes, here it is. I've made a few notes. Okay, so, now, these are just ideas, of course.
Yes, go on. Let's hear what you've got.
Right. We time it so that we arrive at the camp around 7 on Friday evening. It'll still be light then, and we'll have plenty of time to set up camp and get ourselves settled in. At 8, we could have a barbecue, you know, hamburgers and hot dogs, something that's nice and easy to prepare.
And that children love.
Yes. Then, lights out would be at 9:30, so the children will get a good night's sleep and be up bright and early at 7 on Saturday morning. Breakfast would be at 7:30, an hour's hiking from 8 till 9, and then a couple of hours at the lake. That would take us up to 11. I think that an hour of free time would then be in order. Let them have a chance to explore a bit on their own, you know?
Yes, great idea. And then?
Let's see, a picnic lunch at 12, and then sports in the afternoon till 4. Another swim until 5, and then supper. After clean-up, around 6:30, we could have a talk-back session, where the children get a chance to discuss their day and anything else they might have on their minds. Then a campfire and sing-along at 8, back to the tents at 9:30, and, well, that takes care of Saturday.
Excellent, excellent. That would certainly keep them busy. What about Sunday?
Sunday, right. As on Saturday, same wake-up and breakfast times, and then I thought we could go on a bit of a day trip. There are some caves about an hour's walk from the camp, which I thought the children might find interesting. We could leave at 8, which would mean we'd get to the caves at 9. They could explore for a couple of hours, and we'd head back at 11. 12 o'clock would see us back at the meadows. An hour's swim, and then lunch at 1. Then we could have organized games in the afternoon until supper at 5. It would take us an hour to clean up our sites and pack up. We'd be on the buses at 6 and all set to head back into the city.
Well now, you've certainly put a lot of thought into this, Jamie, and it's paid off. I think it sounds wonderful. I can't think of a thing that needs to be changed. Let's go for it.
Brilliant. I'll get the itinerary printed up and put it up on the notice board this afternoon.
That is the end of part 3.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.
Now it turns to part 4.
Part 4.
Now it turns to part 4.
Part 4.
Well, it's the beginning of the digital age, and technology is all set to completely revolutionise the way we watch TV, videos and DVDs, and play computer games at home.
First, you have some time to look at questions 31 to 40. Now, listen carefully and answer questions 31 to 40.
Well, it's the beginning of the digital age, and technology is all set to completely revolutionise the way we watch TV, videos and DVDs, and play computer games at home. Here to tell us more about how we will be spending our leisure time at home in future is Anna Zabel.
Hello. Yes. There will be huge changes in the way we use television, radio, and new media in future. By this, I mean we will be able to do what we want, where we want, and when we want. The result is that our homes will increasingly become home theatres. And all our entertainment at home will be available at the touch of a button. Now, most home entertainment these days is delivered over wires. But this is changing thanks to high-speed broadband. Downloading will become easier and studios will eventually release movies, songs and video games directly to the consumer. So, for example, instead of a film opening on the big screen and eventually appearing on television, video and the internet, it can appear in all formats at once. This means that we will have more choice and control over the media we use.
So, how will we use this media in our homes in future?
There will be big changes in how we watch video and television. Several research groups and companies are trying to add depth to TV and other video displays in the form of a third dimension.
So television and video screens will have depth. What do you mean by depth exactly? Do you mean 3D, like a hologram?
That's right. When we say that a hologram has three dimensions, it means that we can see not only up and down and left and right, but forwards and backwards too. When we talk about dimensions, we call forwards and backwards depth. So when we say that a hologram has three dimensions, it means we can see up and down and left and right, just like a picture or photo. But we can also look into the hologram because the image it contains has depth.
So instead of watching films on a flat screen, we will be watching them in 3D.
Absolutely. Well, as we live in a 3D world, we shouldn't really be watching television and films in 2D. And the technology to make this happen is already there. 3D screens are being developed which can be placed throughout the house, even in busy areas of our homes, like doorways and halls. Now, these screens appear to float in air. So in the future, 3D holographic images will be sent into our homes and we will be able to experience the action as if it is taking place right in front of our eyes.
So, the action won't just look real, it will be real. Incredible! Now, how does this technology work?
Well, to get true 3D, each of your eyes has to see a slightly different image. 3D screens interweave multiple images in vertical stripes using special coatings and filters built into the screen. This means that each eye sees a different set of stripes. These screens are called lenticular screens. Now, these screens are easy to produce and some laptop PCs and cell phones already have them. However, lenticular screens do have one disadvantage. The strain on the eyes and brain of putting together a 3D image from two flat ones can result in headaches and dizziness. But a few companies have developed a hologram 3D display which does not cause these problems. Instead of building images, then leaving them to the brain to put together, holograms create a whole image that reaches the eye exactly the way light from a real object does. You can even walk part of the way around a holographic image to see side and back views, just as you would do if the object was right in front of you. Twin holograms will let a couple watch two different programs on the same screen, even if they sit next to each other on the living room sofa.
So no more arguing about which program to watch.
That's right. Patio screens are being developed too.
Patio screens? What are they exactly?
Well, a patio screen is a big inflatable screen, which means you can take it outside your home and watch a film in your garden. Some patio screens are even equipped with DVD players, and some new ones may even have a wireless connection.
Amazing developments there. Well, join us after the break when we will be talking.
That is the end of part four.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.